This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters Allah سبحانه وتعالى said وإذا جاء أجله لا يستأخرون ساعة ولا يستقدمون Allah سبحانه وتعالى said when the time for death comes Then it is not delayed by a sa'a, by a unit of time, nor is it postponed by a unit of time. My brothers and sisters, I am speaking to you from Somers, Connecticut. It's still, the winter is coming in, but we still haven't had snow. It's beautifully crisp outside. I go for a walk every day, as you know. I spend about 1.5 to 2 hours on my walk, all the way through fields and greenery and housing, small and big houses set away from the road with beautifully clean yards, beautifully clean gardens. Now you might say, well, you know, it must be a bunch of wealthy people who are paying others to do it. To some extent, that is true for some of them. But yesterday I saw an elderly woman, and she was easily, she looked like she was in her 80s, clearing up her yard taking up dry leaves and stuff, and then putting them into a wheelbarrow, and then pushing that wheelbarrow to the place where she was going to dump it. She waved to me, I waved to her, I said, can I help you? She said, no, thank you very much, and that was it. The reason I'm saying this and I am describing this is because of the ayah which I mentioned here, and there is a special reason why I am speaking to you today, is to remind myself and you about that last moment which is going to come to all of us. One day, this moment is going to come. And that is the moment when the curtain will be lifted, when we will see the ghaib. We will see the malaika, and we hope that that day will be a day about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that moment and that time where He said, Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutma'inna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadukhuli fi ibadi wadukhuli jannati. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it will be said to them, O soul which is radiyatam mardiya, nafsul mutma'inna, a soul which is at peace, which is in harmony with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, which is full of tranquility, which is full of stability, which is full of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. It will be said to that soul, come out to the rida of your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Come out to the pleasure of your Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Fadkhuli ibadi wadkhuli jannati. And then enter that special group of people who are the ibad of Allah. Who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called his ibad, al-ibad al-Rahman. And enter Jannah. My brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the greatest blessing that we have is Al-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to us. For most of us who are listening to this video or who will listen to this video, you and I got it for free. We didn't ask for it, our parents didn't ask for it, nobody asked for it, we got it for free as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. We got Al-Islam as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without asking. And therefore, we take this as a bashara from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take this as, inshallah, glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gave us Islam without us asking Him for it. So therefore, inshallah, He will give us Jannah when we are asking Him for it. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa saqataka min al-nar wa na'udhu bika min al-nar. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Jannah and to save us from the fire. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He is the one, لا إله إلا هو. There is no one worthy of worship except Him, Jalla Jalalu. And He is Alimul Ghaybi wa Shahada. He is the one who knows that which is perceivable and that which is not perceivable. Alimul Ghayb, that which is not perceivable, wa Shahada, that which is perceivable and which we are experiencing. And then Allah said, who is He? Huwa Ar-Rahmanur Rahim. He is the one who is the most merciful and the most gracious. Now, English does not do justice to the real meaning of these two sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Ar-Rahman is on the same wazan, is on the same meter as Al-Jawan, Al-Atshan, Al-Ghadban, which is the peak of the feeling or the emotion. So, Al-Ja'an is the peak of hunger. Al-Atshan is the peak of thirst. Al-Ghadban is the peak of anger. Now, Ar-Rahman is on the same peak, which is the peak of Rahman. There's nothing beyond that. This is the ultimate of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, mercy is forgiveness, because what else is mercy? Mercy is not to punish when the person deserves the punishment. Because otherwise, if there is a reason for mercy, because meaning that a person deserves to be forgiven and Allah forgives, then this is also mercy, inshallah, but it is not the peak of mercy. The peak of mercy is to forgive the one who does not deserve to be forgiven. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us because He loves to forgive. Allahumma innaka afuun kareem tuhibbul afu fa'fu anni. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa taught this dua to our mother, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. When she asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I should find Laylatul Qadr, see this beautiful dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha's cover with noor and give her the highest status in Jannah and join her together with her husband Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannatul Firdausul A'la bi ghayri hisab. See the beautiful question. She says, if I find Laylatul Qadr. So first and foremost, she is talking about Laylatul Qadr, where Allah has promised to accept du'as, and this is the ultimate of the time in this world where this one night is more than, the value of this one night is more than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for 1000 months, which is 83 years plus. It is more than that. How much more? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. We do not know this, but this is the value of Laylatul Qadr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in this Layl, she is saying, if I get this light, what must I ask Allah? And who is she asking? She is asking Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whose answers are directly inspired, directly revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ أو كما قال جل جلاله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He does not speak of His own volition. He doesn't say whatever He feels like saying. He says only what we have inspired Him to say. He says only that which we have revealed to Him. He only speaks the wahi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she is asking the one who receives wahi, what dua must I make if I find my Laylatul Qadr? And what is he telling her? And he is telling whom? He is telling the one who he loves the most. He is telling her, so he is giving her this secret to somebody he loves the most. Which is obviously, it means that this is the most beautiful time. It is the most beautiful question. It is being asked to the most beautiful person who can answer it. And the one who is answering it is answering it in the most beautiful way for the one who he loves the most. And what does he tell her? He said, oh Aisha, make this dua. Allahumma innaka afuun kareem tuhibbul afu. فَعَفُ عَنِّي. O Allah, you are, اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ كَرِيمٌ, you are the most forgiving and the most glorious and the most magnificent. تُحِبُّ الْعَفُّ, you love to forgive. فَعَفُ عَنِّي, so therefore forgive me. Now see the beauty of this dua. This is the essence of ubudiyat. where the slave does not feel that he deserves to be forgiven. He says, forgive me because you like to forgive. He forgive me even though I don't deserve to forgive, but I'm not in the equation. You are forgiving because you like to forgive. Indulge yourself, make yourself happy. Because no one can make you happy. Only you are the source of all happiness for everybody in the world. So forgive me because only you can forgive and you love to forgive. My brothers and sisters, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us, He introduced Himself to us in a way, and that way is what we use in every rakat of every salah, which is a rukun of the salah, without which the salah is not valid, where He said, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. In the first three ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahmanir Rahim, in the first three ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is mentioned two times. Imagine, Bismillah, in the name of Allah, who is He? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Right? So, Rahman is the peak of mercy, peak of forgiveness. But you know, there is a problem with peaks. The problem with peaks is that a peak doesn't stay forever. If I am intensely hungry, if I am at the peak of my hunger, if I get one date, if I get one grape, if I get one piece of bread, if I get one samosa, that peak will come down. I will still not be, you know, filled with food, but I will not be, if there was a way of measuring that peak, you would find that the graph would start coming down because the peak is over. Similarly, I am at the peak of thirst. I drink just one gulp of water, not a whole glass of water, just a gulp of water, that peak of thirst comes down. If I'm at the peak of anger, and at that point in time, I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, I remember the beautiful seerah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the person over whom, for whom or on whom I'm angry, apologizes to me, that peak of anger will come down. I still may not completely be in control of my rage, but definitely it will not be the uncontrollable rage that it was at the peak. So the problem with peaks is peaks come down. So here we are saying Ar-Rahman means the peak of mercy. Now what about if this peak comes down? And that is where we have Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim is on the same wazan, it's on the same meter as Al-Kareem, Al-Jameel. An honored person, a beautiful person, beauty does not simply go away. Honor just suddenly doesn't collapse. If you look at all these kinds of words, what is Ar-Rahim? Ar-Rahim is the mercy which continues. So Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is the peak which never declines. It's the peak of mercy which continues forever. In Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that two times. And remember, the second time He mentioned it, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, just the two words by themselves is one ayah. That is before Maliki Yawmiddin. That's the reason why I recited that ayat also. Maliki Yawmiddin. On the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Malik. He is the owner. He is the one in total control and authority. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that everywhere, all the time, right now, as I speak. The control is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, not anybody else. But with specific reference to the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this Al-Maliki Yawmiddin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now think about this, if this ayat instead of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim before Maliki Yawmiddin, instead of Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said Al-Jabbar wal-Qahhar, Al-Muntaqim wal-Aziz, if Allah had mentioned His sifat of Jalal, if Allah had mentioned His sifat of taking intiqam, of punishment, what would have been the condition of the believer who was reciting Surah Al-Fatiha with even a modicum of khushu, even an atom of understanding? What would that person think? What would be going through his heart and his mind, that I am going before the one who is going to hold to account, who is going to punish, who is severe in punishment, who will take revenge, who will settle all accounts? What would be the situation? If Allah had said this, What would you have done? What would I have done? Could we have argued with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Could we have petitioned Him? Could we have requested Him, Ya Allah, please change these ayat? No. There is nothing that we could have done. It is the pure mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah chose what He chose. Out of all His sifat, those that we know and those that we don't know, He chose what He chose. And what did He choose? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. I am saying this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I began, we come to the end of our lives. Everyone comes to the end of their lives. Whether we live for 10 years, whether we live for 50 years, whether we live for 100 years, whether we live for 1,000 years, whether we live for 10,000 years, we all come to the end of our lives. Nuh alayhi salam lived for 950 years. During 950 years was his dawah, period of dawah. So he lived for longer than that. So maybe he lived for more than 1,000 years. Wallahu alam, what his exact age was. But he was giving dawah for 950 years. But he died. The age of Ibrahim alayhi salam, he lived for over 100 years, but he died. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for 63 years, but he passed away. My brothers and sisters, everybody dies. Every single person. If you are born, when you are born, the only certainty is that you will die. Your health is not certain. Your wealth is not certain. Your position is not certain. Your status is not certain. Whether you are going to turn out to be a good person or a bad person is not certain. Whether you are going to be happy or sad is not certain. Whether you will be healthy or weak or sick is not certain. Whether you will be strong or weak is not certain. Whether you will be wealthy or poor is not certain. Whether you will have power or authority and you will not have power or authority is not certain. Nothing is certain except that you will die. That I will die. That's the only certainty that every living being, whether they accept it or not, whether they are aware of it or not, whether they like it or not, that is the only certainty that we live with. And so obviously it means that we must prepare for that certainty throughout our lives, but especially thinking about that last moment of our life when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned to you what should be the demeanor and what should be the attitude of the Muslim. My brothers and sisters, I submit to you that Islam is the greatest wealth. And why is it the greatest wealth? Because in Islam, Islam teaches us to deal with these moments of our life which nothing else can teach us to deal with. Because Islam approaches these from a position of certainty, because only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can grant us that certainty where we are able to speak about these days and these times and what we need to do. So my brothers and sisters, there should be a difference between how a non-Muslim looks at death and a Muslim looks at death. So when we look at death, when a non-Muslim looks at death, what are they looking at? They're looking at maybe for many of them, they are looking at reincarnation. For many of them, they are looking at just finishing, that's it, end of life. We you know, dust to dust, and that's the end of the story, and so on and so forth. But we Muslims, we know what happens. And what happens is we go into the Alamul Barzakh. We don't end, our existence does not end. When we say die, it does not mean extinguish, it does not mean annihilate, it does not mean end of existence. It just means, the best way of describing that is the Urdu word, which is intakal. We muntakil hona. We intakal is to go from one state or one situation, one room, one country, one place to another place. So we go from the Alamul Shahada into the Alamul Barzakh. This is the intakal. This is where we move. And then all the rest of it, what happens in Alamul Barzakh and so on. And then we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, I thought, let me recap and let me remind myself and you, so that we can, when our time comes, we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that Rasulullah advised us. Now, what did he advise and what are we supposed to do? The first and foremost thing to do, the number one thing is this. Rasulullah said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if my slave has committed sins which fill the space between the earth and the heavens. What is that space? Allah knows best. But obviously it is a huge space. So we are not talking about any ordinary garden variety sinner. We are talking about somebody who is dedicated his entire life to committing sin. May Allah protect us from being such a person or being with such people. But anyway, this is what has happened. So this person now is dying, and this person has committed sins, and this person is has this record, this amazingly negatively grand record of sins. Between the sins, there are so many that they fill the space between the heavens and the earth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if that person makes istighfar, if that person makes tawbah, if that person seeks forgiveness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will meet him with forgiveness which is greater than that. Now imagine, we are not talking about somebody who has lived his life well and in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By all means, of course, we must live our lives in obedience to Allah for one very simple reason, which is that we don't know when we are going to die. I can drop dead as I am speaking this, and that would be a good thing if that happened, because I am speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah. But if I was doing something wrong, and if I drop dead in that situation, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they will be resurrected in the same state that they died in. Now what happens to me then? When I am resurrected, I will be resurrected in whatever I was doing. So if I am doing this, I am speaking about the greatness of Allah, alhamdulillah, and about His mercy and forgiveness, I will be resurrected speaking about the greatness of Allah and His mercy and forgiveness. But if I was doing something else, then that would be what the state in which I would be resurrected. So therefore, to prevent that and to save ourselves from that calamity, it is the best thing is to always live a life which is clean. So we begin with this to say that here is a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that Allah says that if this person who has committed so many sins that they fill the space between the heavens and the earth, but that person seeks forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him, and Allah will meet him with mercy and with forgiveness which exceeds his sins. Subhanallah, what a beautiful bashara is that. So that is why I remind myself and you, let us continuously and every single day of our lives, let us seek forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make istighfar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make istighfar over 100 times a day. Let us make istighfar. If the one whose sins were already forgiven, the one who cannot commit any sin, the one who is mahfuz, who is masoom, and for that person, if he is seeking forgiveness, then how much more should we seek forgiveness? So please understand this, that absolutely seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not every one of us is lucky enough to be almost given a date of death. Nobody can actually predict that for anyone. You know, sometimes you might feel that if you have, you hear these cases where the doctors tell a terminally ill patient that you have got, you know, 2 months to live, 6 months to live, 1 year to live. These are all estimates. Doctors are speaking from what knowledge they have, alhamdulillah. But there is no guarantee for that. It can be more, it can be less. But in a way, I believe that that is a great mercy. And I say, if that happens, then one must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, alhamdulillah, that this wake-up call I got. If I did not get this wake-up call, and suddenly one day I had just dropped dead, or I was involved in an accident, and if I was killed there or something, then I would not even have time to make tawbah and istighfar. Now I have been told that you have got so many months to live. So alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, and we say, alhamdulillah, ya Allah, this is your special mercy on me. This is your special favor to me that you have told me that I have only so many months to live. Allah has not told us, the doctor told us, but the doctor is speaking whatever has been put into his mind. And who puts it into the mind? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the doctor is speaking on the basis of his knowledge. We continue to seek treatment. In no problem with that. We continue to make dua for a cure. No problem with that either. But we must ensure that we prepare. That we prepare to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the thing to do? Is istighfar and tawbah. Is to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. Now, what is the guarantee that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive? My brothers and sisters, I mentioned to you the hadith just now, where Allah, where Rasulullah mentioned this to us. Let me also give you the reference of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, see the beauty of this ayah, such a beautiful ayah. I have mentioned this meaning of it so many times. Many of you have heard this from me before. I never tire of saying it, and I say it with the full consciousness, and I ask my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu, Ya Allah, you are the one who taught me what to say. So please make this true for all of us, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah said, see the beauty of this ayah. Allah is saying, قُلْ, he's saying, say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Say to whom? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. Say, O my slaves. Yeah, now think about this. Who do you call your person? My friend, my son, my daughter. You know, sometimes I'm amused by this. In many homes, when children are good and they do something good, the father will say, these are my children. Mere bachche, mera bachcha dekho kya kara. I mean, in Urdu, the father will say to the mother, see, mera bachcha dekho kya kara. See my son, what he has done. Oh, wonderful, what a lovely son I have. But if the same son does something wrong, the father will say, tumhara bachcha kya kara. He says, see your son, what did he do? So when somebody does something wrong, we distance them, we push them away. No, it's not mine, this is something else. If he was mine, he wouldn't do this, right? So, but see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying, my ibad, ibadi, my ibad, my slaves, who? Asrafu ala anfusi. Those who have transgressed against themselves. Now think about this. The transgression was what? Whatever the transgression was, it was a disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if the ayat had said, those who have transgressed against me, if Allah is saying, say to those who have transgressed against me, yeah, you would understand that, because you would say, okay, this my transgression was against the order of Allah. But Allah is saying, who have transgressed against themselves. Why? Because when we commit sins, we are not harming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are harming ourselves. So Allah is saying, you are so stupid, you didn't understand this, right? You committed sins, you didn't understand that you were really harming yourself. So Allah is saying, yet Allah is not saying, you people who have no brains, who have no sense, you committed sins, you harmed yourself, now get out. No, Allah is calling them His slaves. Ya ibadi, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to those people, say to them, oh my slaves, now this is Allah speaking, say, oh my slaves, who have transgressed against yourselves, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Now think about that. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this is one of the things that shaitan puts in your mind. Where shaitan says, you know, you are so bad, you are so horrible, you've done so many bad things. There is no way that Allah will forgive you. Right? So forget about this. I am reminded of the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the people of the past, there was this guy who killed 99 people. I mean, you're talking about a serial killer, right? He's killed 99 people. Then he gets this twinge in his heart, and he thinks that, well, you know, I think I've done kind of overdone things, so I better make amends, I might better do something. So he goes to this scholar, to this alim, and he says to him, you know, I have killed 99 people, but I now want to repent and I want to seek Allah's forgiveness. So do you think Allah will forgive me? The man says, look, you're crazy. I mean, you would kill 99 people, there's no way that Allah is going to forgive you. Now this man, you might imagine this guy killed 99 people. Allah knows what kind of a mental state he had. Obviously, he flew into a rage and he pulled out his sword and he knocked off the alim's head. He said, all right, so now I killed 99, now this is a century. So 100 people. So now what does he do? So he goes out from there, he meets a guy and he says to him, look, I killed 99 people. I went to that alim there and I asked him if Allah will forgive me. And he said, Allah won't forgive me. So I got angry. I killed him also. So now I've got 100. Now what shall I do? I mean, I want to repent. I want to seek forgiveness. What do you think I should do? So So obviously this man was sensible. So he didn't tell him, you know, nothing can be done. So he said to him, he said, you know, there is this this place, this holy place, this mosque or whatever it was, which is a distance from here. You go there and you seek forgiveness and inshallah Allah will forgive you. So the man said, okay, he started walking. Now as he's walking, as he's going towards that place, on the way he died. So now you look at the situation. Here is a man who killed 100 people. He's walking with the intention of seeking forgiveness. He has not sought forgiveness yet. He was told, go there and seek forgiveness. So for example, somebody says, go make Umrah. And you know, after you finish your Umrah, you make Dua. So this is not what we must do. When we get the realization to seek forgiveness, we must do that instantly wherever we are. Right? Alhamdulillah, you can then go make your Umrah. But there's no condition that you will be forgiven only if you seek forgiveness in the haram. So that's not for us. But in this case, this is what was told to the man. So the man is now walking on the way, he dies. So he hasn't sought forgiveness yet. He has not made istighfar. He had the intention, but he's going. Now when he dies there, two angels from Jahannam, two angels from the fire come and they say, this is our man. 100 people he killed, so now time for him to pay the price, and he goes into the hot place. But then two angels from Jannah, they came, they said, no, hold on, you can't take this guy, he was going to seek forgiveness. So the other angels said, well, you know, he was going, I don't care where he was going, he didn't do it, right? So he has not sought forgiveness yet, he's not been forgiven, we don't know if Allah forgave him, whatever the condition is, but he is ours. The angels have an argument, they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, here is the situation, there is this guy, he killed 100 people, he was going to seek forgiveness, so he says, but he died before he reached that place. So effectively, did he seek forgiveness? No, he didn't. Now we, the angels of Jahannam, we feel he belongs to us, but these people, the angels of Jannah, they think he belongs to them, so what must I do? What must we do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, measure the earth from where he started to where he reached and from where he reached to where he was going. If he had gone more than halfway, then he belongs to the angels of Jannah, because he has gone more than halfway towards the place of forgiveness. And if he didn't reach halfway, then you can take him into Jahannam, because he has not yet reached. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the angels went away. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the earth to stretch in such a way that this man was beyond the halfway mark, which means that this man would be forgiven. My brothers and sisters, this is our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. This is our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Huwa afuun kareem. Huwa afuun kareem. He is the one who loves to forgive. So here in this ayah, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Allah said, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. So what must we do? Seek forgiveness, make istighfar, and then see the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا تَقْنَتُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, and then Allah gives an assurance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الظُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Verily and truly, with taqeed, with emphasis, with reiteration, Allah is saying, verily and truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Meaning, that no matter what sin you committed, as long as you make tawbah, as long as you make istighfar and tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive it. Inna Allah yaghfiru zunuba jami'a. Now think about that. This ayat could have ended, Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim la taqnatu min rahmatillah. O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. This ayat could have ended here. The meaning is clear. If you don't despair of the mercy of Allah, what does it mean? It means Allah will forgive you, inshallah. But Allah did not leave it there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this also. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jamia. Verily and truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. This ayat could have ended here also. But the akramul akrameen, arhamul rahimeen, the glory and majesty and the generosity of my Rabb exceeds even that. So what does he say? Innahu huwal ghafur rahim. Verily, Allah is the one who is al ghafur. He is the most forgiving and ar rahim. Again, the most merciful. Now imagine, this is our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. This is our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَوْلَا إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَئِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبُصِرُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the breath is stuck in the throat, Wallahi, I have seen people in that situation. And Allah is telling us what we have seen. He's drawing our attention to that situation. Allah is saying, here is the one that you love. Here is a person who you would gladly give your life for. Here is a person for whom you would say, oh Allah, take me instead of him. I belong to Allah, that person also belongs to Allah. How can I give something which already belongs to my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu? Yet I can make this dua. And Allah knows. Yet, nothing happens. Only the one who has to die will die. No matter how much you love somebody, you cannot stop them from dying. So Allah is saying here, when the breath is stuck in the throat. وَأَنْتُمْ حِينَ إِذٍ تَنْظُرُونَ And you are standing there looking on. Helpless. Completely helpless. You would do anything to stop that person from dying, to bring that person back, to keep that person with you, even if it was a short time, even if it was for a short time. Yet, no power. You're standing there looking on. And then Allah says, نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ Allah says, we are closest to him, but you cannot see us. My brothers and sisters, this is the state of the moment. This is the state of whoever, but this is the state of the moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving this comfort to us, this tasalli to us. Allah is saying, I am close to them. We are close to them. You can't see us, but we are closest. أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تُبْصِرُونَ We are closest to that person, but you cannot see us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about the believers when the time comes for their soul to be taken. May Allah make us all among that, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نزلا من غفور الرحيم Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this beautiful ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu said those who said قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُ those who said Allah is my Rabb and they stayed firm on it my brothers and sisters this life is not about reaching somewhere. It's about steadfastness on the path. It's about steadfastness on the path. It's about staying firm on the path. May Allah keep us firm on the path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask dua for this. And what is the dua? اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم The dua is, O Allah, guide us to the path of steadfastness, the path of those you blessed, your anbiya, your siddiqeen, your shuhada wa salihin. Right? And not to the path of those who incurred your anger or who went astray. My brothers and sisters, Allah says that those people who said, Allah is our Rabb. And Allah is witness. I say this and you say this. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله We bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu is the only one worthy of worship. And he has no partners whatsoever. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is his messenger, is his last and final messenger, after whom there is no Nabi and there is no Rasul. Those who stay on this, meaning that who also live their lives on this, meaning who follow the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. About such people, Allah said, تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. When these people are reaching the end of their lives, the malaika will come, they will be sent to them. And what will they do? They will say, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُعَدُونَ. They will say, don't have any fear, don't have any sadness, don't be sad about what or who you are leaving behind. They will be taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu amma nawalu. And do not fear for where you are going, because abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. We bring for you the bashara, we bring for you the glad tidings, the good news of Jannah. Right here, the person has not even died, he is getting bashara of Jannah, inshallah. May Allah make us all among those, inshallah. The malaika are coming, they say, your Rabb has sent us to give you the bashar of Jannah. Inshallah, you will be in Jannah. أَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُرَحْتُونَ. And then they will say, نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. We were your friends in this dunya, and we are your friends in the akhirah. We are your awliya, we are your advocates, we are your guardians, we are your protectors, we are your supporters. We will accompany you, don't worry, you are not alone, we are with you. This is the whole entourage which is going, you are not going alone. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ مَا تَدَّعُونَ. And there you will get every single thing that you could have desired. You will get everything that you wish for, and all this glad tidings, good news of Jannah is nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. Again, rahim, again, ghafur, min ghafur, nuzulam min ghafurir rahim. Our brothers and sisters, nuzul is a small, it's like somebody comes to you, a dearly and eagerly awaited guest is coming to your house from a long distance. They're coming on a long flight or a long journey. They're going to be tired and so on. You've been waiting for them. You made all these great plans. You're going to have a party and a dinner and this and that. And you're going to take them around and whatnot. But the moment they land in your house, you don't say to them, now let's go. We are going now. We are all packed up. We are right now going camping. And then we are going to come back and we have this big dinner. No. You don't do all that. You sit them down. You give them a glass of sharbat, of juice, of cold water. You give them something to eat and you say, now rest. Here is this thing. This is only a precursor. This is the promo of what is to come. What is to come is far bigger than this, but this is let the tiredness, let your jet lag go away, let your tiredness go away. Have this glass of water, you know, cool your throat, cool your body, and then inshallah we will do many, many things. Nuzulam min ghafur rahim. They say that this is the nuzul, this is the welcome, package. This is just the sign of what is to come. Min ghafuri rahim. From who? From al-ghafur and al-rahim. The one who is the most forgiving and the one whose mercy has no end, which continues forever and ever. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, so when we get the news of death, and believe me, that doesn't have to come from a doctor. The news of death has already been given to us by Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no one who is a more reliable informer about the time to come than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Doctors don't know, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knows. Doctors don't receive wahi, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam received wahi. What did he tell us? He said that when in salah, when you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah on the right side, do not believe that you will still have life to be able to say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah on the left side. He said that if you put a morsel of food in your mouth, do not believe that you will have the life to be able to swallow that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness. This second thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me literally in a place in a town called Nuneaton in the UK. Now that story is too long to tell you here. Inshallah, maybe some other time. But I have actually seen this. I have seen the morsel that a person was holding in his hand to put in his mouth, but he could not do that because his life was taken. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the bashara of the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the mu'min does not see this as a calamity. The mu'min does not see this as a tragedy. The mu'min does not see this as something bad. He sees this as alhamdulillah, 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 the best news that I can get. And what is the best news that I can get? That I am going to meet my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. The best news, absolutely the best news that I can get, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is my witness, I am speaking, I am telling myself and I am asking my Rabb to be the witness, that the best news that I can get is that I am going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. That is the news that I have been waiting for all my life. And I say, oh Allah, give me this news. In good health, in good iman, in a good condition, with waqar, with Islam, with yaqeen, and take me in that state. Without pain, without suffering, without illness, without doctors, without hospitals, without any shubuhat and shahwat, take me in that state, in a state of total yaqeen, in you and in your greatness, and yearning, and yearning, and yearning to meet you, Jalla Jalalu. Sari zindagi kya kisne? Milne ke liye to kya? And when the time of hisab comes, then the man cries. Kamal hai, ajeeb. So my brothers and sisters, please understand this. Something that a mu'min is somebody who meets death as if he has been waiting. And he has been waiting. And that's how he meets death. As that greatest moment of his life, when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. With great happiness, with great joy, and especially those who are fortunate enough to get some kind of warning. As I told you, this applies to all of us. We all got the warning from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So don't wait for the warning from some doctor or somebody. But if you got that also, alhamdulillah, even better, because now you have a second warning. Prepare yourself, make wasiyat, give to people what their rights are, make istighfar and tawbah, and please understand, tawbah, istighfar is for hukukullah, from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we did not do. Istighfar, inshallah, is sufficient. We ask the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But where the rights of people are concerned, it is necessary also to fulfill their rights. So if you took something from somebody, give it back. You don't want to carry that with you on the day of judgment. If you wronged somebody, make up. Apologize to them. Whether they accept the apology or not doesn't matter, but you go and you grovel and you make sure that you show you that you are contrite and that you are apologetic. So apologize to them. Make sure that you don't carry that with you. If you have not, for example, paid zakat or something, calculate it and pay it. Finish it off. Whatever else is there, like salah and so on and so forth, make istighfar, inshallah, and try to pray as much as you can pray. Inshallah, Allah will forgive you. But things that have to do with wealth or with the rights of others, simply asking forgiveness of Allah does not work. We also have to fulfill those rights. So fulfill those rights, make apologies and so on. So first and foremost, do that. Make sure that your account is clean. Alhamdulillah, you got a good news that you are going to meet Allah. Treat this as a great blessing. Don't waste your time. Get on with it. Right? Seek forgiveness. Ensure that when you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your account is completely clean and clear, and that you are going business class straight into Jannah, insha'Allah al-Musta'an. Make sure you do that. And then, whatever time Allah has given, spend it in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go make Umrah, go to Madinah Munawwara, make Ziyarah, and sit there in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif, sit there in the Haram al-Sharif. If you can do that, if you can't do that, doesn't matter, in your own house, make dua, istighfar, tawbah, read Quran, connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever time is left, all the rest of your life, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100 years, you were stuck with the dunya, you were stuck with your business, you were stuck with your career, you were stuck with your friends, you were stuck with your family. Now, unstick yourself, right? unseat yourself, get out from this, let everybody go. Tell people, Alhamdulillah, I have met you, mashallah, thank you very much for everything that you did for me. Now is the time between me and my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. That is where I am going. So therefore, I don't want to meet anybody. You don't have to become a complete recluse. Some special friends and so on, let them come and go, but ensure there are people who respect your privacy, who understand what you want to do. So, those people, not people who will come and then, you know, start some song and dance session where it distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Make sure that it is people who respect your privacy, who understand what you're doing, and ruju ila Allah. Until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you sabr, to grant, and I, when I make this dua and I say, grant you, please understand, it's not because I don't want it. It's because I want it even more than you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when a slave makes dua, when a Muslim makes a dua for his brother, Allah appoints an angel to make the same dua for that Muslim. So when I'm making dua for you, believe me, I'm being very selfish. I want the dua of the angel for myself. So that's the reason why I'm making this dua. May Allah accept my dua for you, and may Allah dua accept the dua of the angel for me. So I make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu should grant you life with istiqamat on siratul mustaqim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should grant you death as a nafsul mutmainna, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should grant you a death where you are given the bashara of Jannah before you die. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the didar and the ru'ya of Muhammadu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam before you die, so that you see his beautiful face, which you will see again in your qabr, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant you the feeling and the understanding and the ihsas where Allah said, Nahnu aqrabu ilayhi minkum walakin la tubsirun. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he must show you the malaika, and you must hear the malaika giving you the bashara of Jannah before you die, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take your soul without any pain, any suffering whatsoever. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then for this soul, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam beautifully described to us, to be wrapped in the garments of Jannah of beautiful green silk and taken up to the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, now go and sleep in your grave and nobody will disturb you until you are woken up for the day of judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that on the day of judgment, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should resurrect you with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam and his sahaba ikram, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should shade you under his shade on the day when there is no shade except his shade, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should make manifest for you and make visible for you his karamat and his pleasure when you are under his shade. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should decree and write in your qadr that you will meet Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Hawd, on Al-Kawthar, and that you will receive the water of Kawthar from the blessed hand of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he decrees and writes in your qadr that you cross the Sirat in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, behind Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that you enter Jannatul Firdausul A'la bighayri hisab in the company of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Jazakumullahu khairan wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.